This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, March 26th, greatest day in history.
Why is that?
Welcome into the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. It just is, Mike.
Whoa.
Oh.
Something.
Sounds like a pretty big deal.
Something really good happened a long time ago. That's all I'm saying.
On the 26th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long ago?
Yeah, I'm caught up now.
Andy? Like,
about
are we talking?
Four score.
Four decades ago? 40 years ago?
I think one score? How long is a score?
2 weeks?
7 points.
No,
that's a fortnight.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought a score
I honestly have no idea how much.
I thought a score was 40 years.
Al probably 20 knows.
Years.
20? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so two score.
Two score. Yeah, I'm 40.
What's
it to you?
It's fantastic. Welcome to the club.
Drove in a Miata this morning.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Top down. I mean, and you know how tall I am. I don't fit in that.
No, the top has to be down.
Yeah. Welcome in, one and all, the Fantasy Footballers. Free agency winners and losers on today's show. You heard no bear on the intro. We finally have the gang back together and our first chance to talk through winners and losers of free agency together, and we'll get into the news, some mailbag, and glad everybody's back again. UltimateDraftKit.com, you can get it right now. The Dynasty Pass being updated daily, and the full Ultimate Draft Kit releases on June 1st, so you can pre-order price, or it's at the pre-order price right now. I have to get to the quick question on today's episode of the show.
Yeah, I missed out on
today's quick question.
Quite
a
hullabaloo.
Was submitted by millions of listeners. Millions. But in lieu of reading all of the comments, I will allow Grant to be a representative for all of them. Grant in Atlanta says, quote, "Is everything okay with Jason?" On the show, March 21st, his voice sounds substantially different than any time I've ever heard him.
Apparently, people really know my voice very well, and
better than the people in this room.
Calamity ensued when last week, apparently, I did not know it at the time in the moment. I knew there was something going on, but I had what's called strep throat.
Mm. That'll get you.
My voice was not its usual silky, buttery smoothness. Instead, I think I have
a smooth voice.
I think I was up here more or something like that. I think my range was higher. I don't know what it was.
Which,
but
on one hand, some people thought sounded like Mike. So I don't know what that's saying.
I don't know.
It's me, Mike. How's everybody doing?
I've been accused of many things in my years. Having a really high voice is not one of them.
What's funny is whatever change happened on that episode to my voice, which most people around here couldn't really decipher. They're like, I don't hear anything wrong. It was like the comments, the DMs,
oh, people
the total
were...
messages. It was like a village on fire and everyone looting. It was like just it was pure mayhem.
Yeah, pandemonium in the streets
over my voice. So I hope
Are
it's
you
back.
Okay?
Maybe I'm like 90% back to my normal voice. I don't know.
Maybe
we'll find out.
Because we wouldn't be able to know because the people in this room didn't know when it was happening.
I mean, people thought AI was doing your voice for an episode.
What?
People thought it was Mike's voice.
Soon, people, it'll be AI. We're working on it.
Yeah. So there you go. Jason just had strep throat.
Yeah.
Which you tried to give to me.
I'm over.
I didn't get it this time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But you're better. They gave you the medicines.
I got the medicines and I got better quick.
I feel
Good
like
work.
I feel like ever since we like pronounced the fact that we had never had two people sick at the same time or two people out on the same day, ever since then it has been we've been tested.
Mm-hmm.
We have had some real push comes to shove near one man shows.
Yeah, when you poke the bear,
yeah,
it bites.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk some fantasy news.
News and notes from around the league.
The worst is going to be when the Foot Clan starts diagnosing us before we feel it. Because,
right.
Like, if this show goes live and then the comments are like, oh my gosh, Andy's voice,
yeah.
What's wrong? I'll know I'm sick with something.
Like, Andy better check that prostate.
Whoa. I have to do that anyways at 40.
You're at the age.
That's what I'm saying. They've heard the age. And now they're hearing the inflections of your voice.
Everyone's asking you to get checked out.
Everyone.
Yeah, that's the people want it.
Live stream.
I'm pretty disturbed right now, to be honest. Pretty scared. Yes, Al, you are overdue. He was asking if he's overdue. Yeah, you're very old.
I thought it was like mid-40s or 50.
Yeah, I think it's 45.
Okay.
Is it
45?
Yeah, they also do some old man health.
Yeah, 1 second.
Here. I think they do like some blood, some pre-check now for numbers in your blood too.
Now I know for a fact, Josh,
because I did that, and they're like, "You're good." And
Papa
Josh is fantastic. I'm fine.
He's the oldest man here.
How many are Baker's dozen?
Wait, of what?
Prostate exams.
What? Mike is in true form now. Yeah. Back on the show, he's never done it.
Yeah, Papa Josh, 3 score, and. And 13 prostate checks.
I'm sorry, everybody. We're just happy to be back together. Yeah, it's the Adam Thielen hour. All right. The NFL will officially not ban the tush push.
We have known this for a while. I think we've mentioned it once or twice, but it's nice to have conclusive evidence. Like the touchdowns will come from the 1 yard line, regardless of Saquon.
Well, I don't know.
I love that we get like the science experiment of the Jason Kelce impact.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll know whether it was Kelce or not this year.
I promise you, even with Saquon there, week one, week two, they're at the 1 yard line. They're going to do the tush push, and we're going to get to find out.
They should.
Russell Wilson has, quote, pole position from Mike Tomlin says to be the starter for the Steelers. But then said, when it's time to compete, Justin Fields will be given an opportunity to show his capabilities. The draft pick that the Steelers gave up goes from a 6 to a 4 if Fields plays more than 51% of the snaps. They won't care about that change if Fields leads them to victory. I believe the DraftKings over-under win totals came out.
Yes.
Yeah, for teams.
And the Steelers were where?
7.5, which
Wait,
would...
I thought that you said they were higher than that.
No, they were 7.5, which is if they were to... I mean, that line is testing the Mike Tomlin never had a losing season.
Yeah, I mean, if you were at 8, you have a losing season.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It could get – I think it could get messy, you know. It's just – I don't think Russell Wilson would handle being benched.
Well, he got benched last year.
His situation last year was contractual, not play, even though they came out and said, Right. Oh, it's play. I just mean if you get a new opportunity here, you've been told you're the starter, the team goes out, then picks up Justin Fields. I'm sure that did not make Russell happy. I only know this because he tweeted how happy he was about it.
About Justin Fields?
Yeah, about Justin Fields coming in. So yeah. I don't know. Brian Daboll says there's no guarantee Daniel Jones will be ready for week one.
Okay.
It's good for the Giants.
Yeah, and they did pick up Drew Lock. So there's been, you know, rumors of them interested in the quarterback market and the, you know, this upcoming draft. I don't know that they've got the draft capital to make a move. So you might end up week one with Drew Lock.
There was a bit of news regarding the Gus bus, which I know that this is what we're going with. Just because Gus Edwards, that goes on forever, doesn't it? There was a quote from the Chargers general manager that they called Gus Edwards the bell cow of the backfield. His full quote was, he's the bell cow, the goal line guy, the finisher, the right mentality for what we're looking for. I told you we wanted to be a bigger team, play a physical style on both sides of the ball. He helps us do that.
Yeah. I mean, as of right now, the depth chart is the Gus bus, Isaiah Spiller, Elijah Dotson, and Jared Patterson? Is Jared Patterson on the Chargers?
Apparently. All I know is if the backfield stays the same as it is now, Gus Edwards would certainly be the very, very primary ball carrier. And if I wanted a rookie running back in this draft, I would make sure everyone knows we've got our bell cow already in tow. He's going to be everything. He's exactly what we want.
Well, it's funny. The finisher and the goal line guy kind of contradict how we interpret the phrase bell cow. Like, bell cow feels like you get all the totes. Like, you get all the carries. Yeah. But the other two are like what he probably will really be, which is fourth downs, third and short, etc. If I had Gus Edwards in Dynasty, I would try to trade him.
Okay.
Because you probably thought you'd never get to do that again. So if that...
What would you trade him for? Like, would you trade him for a second-round
pick? Yeah, for sure. Unless you really believe that he's going to be the guy.
It's at that... You're at the time of year where he is currently winning. So, I don't know that I would trade him away. I think I might hold on to Gus Edwards. And I'm not predicting that we're going to go into the season that Gus Edwards will be the only name at the running back position for the Chargers. They'll probably add someone else, but it's just at this point, like, running back depth is so needy. Because even if they add a rookie, Gus Edwards, with the money that he got, will be involved. And Gus Edwards, what do you think right now? It's top ahead. Over under on rushing touchdowns for Gus.
Six.
Okay, yeah,
I was
thinking seven.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Either keep him or trade him.
Well, I'll just, you know, people giving their opinion.
I would trade for him.
I would hold Gus at this point.
If I could get a second rounder for Gus, I would certainly cash in. I think this is a deep enough wide receiver class where if I can convert Gus Edwards right now into a rookie wide receiver, I would do that without question.
I think Gus will be okay for a year.
Yeah.
But what my bigger point is, like, the whole identity of this entire team is going to be hard-nosed, run the football. And I don't think you go into the season with Gus Edwards and nobody. Like, I just don't think that's a part of fulfilling that philosophy. This is a player that's missed time due to injury before.
Yeah, there's a strong chance that you would not be able to trade Gus Edwards after the NFL draft.
Yeah. So, hey, look, what did he have, 13 last year?
Is that where he was?
I think he was at 13 touchdowns. Yeah. So something to watch as we head into the draft and the NFL draft rumors. We heard stuff right before the show, recording time, about J.J. McCarthy maybe going number two to Washington. That's been the rumor, is that that's the guess that a lot of GMs have at number two, which puts the Cardinals at four in a position where people will be chomping at the bit to take, if that happened.
Yeah, if J.J. goes in the top three.
Yeah, I guess even if he doesn't. If the NFL views J.J. McCarthy in the way they seem to, which is right in the same tier as Daniels, May, then Cardinals are probably trading out of four. I don't want them to, but that will really disrupt your your natural thoughts on where the big three superstar wide receivers are going to go. Because it's easy right now to say, okay, we think that Cardinals will have Harrison, and then everyone seems to put Odunze with the Bears at 9, and then Neighbors go somewhere in between, Giants, whatever. But it would really disrupt things if there was there was a big trade. So 30 days till the draft. Man, it's going to be fun. Any other news back there in Deucer's Alley? Anything you got for us?
No, sir.
All right. Let's jump in.
We're going to win. We're going to win!
Free agency winners or losers, we finally get the opportunity to talk through our favorite signings and our least favorite outcomes from free agency. We've had a lot happen this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've each picked a biggest winner and a biggest loser. At this point, you know, there is no sneaking this player into redraft leagues and onto your roster. To me, the biggest winner of free agency was Drake London, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
And Drake London, there are players like Terry McLaurin historically and DJ Moore historically where the Drake London story was beginning to model those career arcs, which is super talented, upper echelon, wide receiver ability, stifled by, just a rotating door of quarterbacks for the rest of their career. However, we did get a glimmer of hope last year, right? With DJ Moore changing teams, changing quarterbacks, becoming a go-to receiver at a higher, with a higher chance of helping your fantasy team on a weekly basis. We know, if you have eyeballs, you know Drake London is a very, very good wide receiver.
I have eyeballs.
Yeah, and you have eyeballs.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
I think he's a very, very good wide receiver.
That's good, because if you didn't, then
I might not have eyeballs.
You wouldn't
eyeballs.
Know that. You wouldn't know. Target shares have been 29% and 23% in the first 2 years. He's had last year was 74% of the team's wide receiver red zone targets. That's number one in the NFL.
That's great.
So he must have been awesome, right?
Percentages on a Falcons team, they don't count.
No, they certainly didn't under Arthur Smith, and he's only had 6 total touchdowns in 2 years. He's had putrid quarterback play. He's had changes at the quarterback position. Low passing volume, nobody to really help him on the other side of the field, and just a team that didn't even line up in 3 wide very often. They were a 2 wide team. They ran 11 personnel. He was a very, very good player in 3 wide receiver sets, and the nice thing about this upcoming year is you're going to have a rebuilt offense top to bottom. You're going to have a new offensive coordinator in Zach Robinson. They didn't line up in 11 a
right.
lot. That's what I meant to say. Thank you. You noticed that.
Yeah, I was staring you down.
Yeah, they need to line up in 11 more. They didn't do that very often. They lined up in 12 with more tight ends. They're going to be in a position now this year to open things up, and the addition of Kirk Cousins is the key component to the entire equation. You're not going to be able to hide Drake London in drafts this year, period.
No, period. That's already done. Have you seen where he's going on Underdog now?
14.
He's in the second round. He's being drafted to be a great fantasy wide receiver this season.
Drafted ahead of Diggs, Debo, and Chris Olave.
He was wide receiver 26 a month ago. And we did like him a month ago. Not because of Cousins, because we didn't know that was happening, but because of the change at the head coaching spot and the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so, 26 was his floor with that change.
Without the change to Cousins, he could have hidden. He might have been able to hide as a sneaky value. Now you're just going to have to take him because you love the opportunity in the player and the youth. We all have him top 12 in our dynasty startup rankings. But to me, huge win for his career, his future pocketbook.
Yeah.
So biggest winner to me.
I got a question because I know where the rankings are right now, but let's just talk through it. Dynasty wise, Drake London versus Garrett Wilson, which Garrett Wilson, he could find himself on like in, on that Drake London path here. Yes, we're supposed to have Aaron Rodgers as Garrett Wilson's quarterback for this year. But then what? You know, number one, Jay, you've kind of talked about you have concerns about is just Aaron Rodgers. Does he really even have it remaining to make sure that Garrett Wilson can be great for fantasy football? Because Garrett Wilson, like Drake London, is a great wide receiver. This is, in my opinion, you cannot argue against Wilson's talent. But what's the future look like where after Rodgers this year, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's Rodgers next year. Maybe you're right back into quarterback purgatory because if Rodgers is actually good, then you don't have draft capital to get a new quarterback. And so it's like just the Drake London versus Garrett Wilson. Right now we all have Garrett Wilson ahead, but
You answer, I want to give you their career numbers.
Okay.
Because I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
2 years, same, you know, they came in the same draft class. Through 2 years, Garrett Wilson has 315 targets, 178 catches for 2,145 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Through 2 years, Drake London has 227 targets, so almost 100 fewer targets, 141 catches for 1,771 yards.
Like, what, 400 fewer yards?
But obviously Kirk Cousins is not a spring chicken either. But what is your view on those two?
Yeah, I think it's a fair and honest debate. If you look last year, you're talking about, or over the last just handful of years, it's been, well, Justin Jefferson has been great with Kirk Cousins, well, and Devontae Adams has been great with Aaron Rodgers. So you've got a little bit more youth on Kirk Cousins' side over Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, there's no target competition to me for Drake London. Now that you go out and sign Mike Williams, some of those touchdowns could come away. I think it's honest debate.
They brought in Mooney. They have Pitts. I mean, you don't have a big tight end target in New York.
Yeah, I mean, both wide receivers are great. I think what you've seen on the field makes you lean towards just keeping Garrett Wilson ahead because he's done more.
He's done more with crappy quarterbacks.
Yes.
I mean, they both had crappy quarterbacks, yeah. But he put up bigger numbers.
Right. And so I think I've got him. I mean, I do have him ahead in my rankings, but it's a fair debate. If someone thinks it's nowhere near close and you can capitalize on a trade and get a big plus, you know, trading Garrett Wilson for Drake London plus other stuff, I would be fine with that.
6 touchdowns for Drake London in 2 years. How many does Garrett Wilson have in 2 years?
Not many. 6?
7. So they're actually pretty mirrored. I mean, this last year, Garrett Wilson finished at 32 at the wide receiver position with bad quarterback play. Drake London, you know, this past year, where was he? He was 39. So these are two super talented players, nowhere near the top 24 this past year.
Could be worth noting in a dynasty setting that full year younger is Drake London.
They're very close. I think we all have them pretty close in dynasty.
We do,
startup,
but it's just, it's been like Garrett Wilson since last offseason kind of just got put into, you know, a borderline top 5 dynasty asset because of how young he is and how good it looks like he's going to be. And it just
now it's
it was Drake, like that was locked in.
It's Drake London's turn to be in that in that spot
right.
This year, but both should have brand new quarterbacks. Quick break and back with Jason's fantasy free agency winner. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out. And therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. and you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right. I went with Drake London. Jason, who do you have as your biggest winner of free agency?
I am taking a running back that I really did not think would find a great market this offseason. Instead, he found a great market. DeAndre Swift goes out, gets a 3-year, $15 million guaranteed as the first running back signed once free agency opened up. And I think he has – not only did he secure the bag, I'm happy for him, get paid running backs, but – he enters into a really good situation. The fact that, you know, day one, they're clamoring for DeAndre Swift. They're giving him a lot of money. That is a commitment to him where I'm not worried about Roschon Johnson. You know, it's not going to be a Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley level. You know, you get everything. And Swift is a little bit undersized. So there'll be some working in. But when you've got a rookie quarterback, there is a lot of reliance on the running back position. We talk about how wide receivers in fantasy football, it's not usually a good bet when you've got a rookie quarterback, but it actually is a pretty safe bet for the running back for a rookie quarterback because of that. They want to protect. They want to make sure that, you know, they've got the running game to help support the young quarterback. Since 2011, lead running backs playing alongside rookie quarterbacks with 10 starts, they've averaged 250 opportunities. They've been a running back two on average. So this is a really good floor for him. And I think that the news there for Chicago, there's so much splash elsewhere on the roster that I do think DeAndre Swift will go a little bit under the radar. He's not going to fly up boards, but the offense could be good. Caleb Williams coming in as the number one pick in the draft. And the splash of Keenan Allen, the big year last year from DJ Moore. To me, DeAndre Swift finds himself in what could be a good offense where he's going to get a lot of work. He's paid to get a lot of work. I think for fantasy-wise, I mean, you know, last year he finishes the running back 23 in 16 games. But before Philly fell apart, you know, before their bye week and they completely collapsed, he was averaging 14.3 fantasy points per game on over 20 opportunities, 97 all-purpose yards every single game. So you've got
obviously, yes, the landscape for him, the situation for him, better than expected. He was a winner. Do you see him in that same range, the 20s?
Yeah, I think he will be drafted as a lower-end RB2, maybe even outside of the top 20. I think he'll be right around the, you know, 24, and that should be his floor. He's only 25 years old, so I really like this spot for Swift.
Go ahead, Mike.
How wild, to me anyways, DeAndre Swift, the Chicago Bears, you know, running backs, I guess they sort of got paid this offseason, but it's harder to get running backs really good guaranteed money. DeAndre Swift in his career has averaged 41% of snaps.
Yeah.
And they just gave him a huge bag of money. Like last year, that was the highest ever at 55% of the snaps. Yes. 55! Like it still blows my mind. How did he get this deal?
They like what they saw. And he did. He kind of took this, you know, had a stranglehold is the word I was looking for on the backfield. Gainwell started the year as everybody's darling fantasy. Maybe this guy's going to break out. It wasn't. And I was just curious because, like, last year, like, you would say DeAndre Swift's a better running back than Chuba Hubbard?
Yes, for sure.
Devin Singletary?
No. I think in that tier, very different style of player. But your point is that those guys were both really good with rookie quarterbacks last year.
Yeah, I mean, Chuba finished the year at 26, didn't take over till partway through the year with Bryce Young on the worst offense I've ever seen, and finished at 26. And then Singletary also didn't take over until partway through the year, finished at 31.
He was a league winner.
But he was very, very good.
That sounds like an argument for Roschon Johnson. I'm just going to tell you that.
Sure, whoever the lead guy is, because those guys didn't start
last
year.
Shoot.
But the point is the running back for a rookie quarterback is a much safer bet than wide receivers for a rookie quarterback.
Also implied loser, Khalil Herbert?
Who?
Mike, I see you have kind of two winners
here. I have two, yeah, because I wasn't here to talk about it, but shout out to the largest winner of the free agency period, Jerry Jeudy's agents.
Yeah, what's his name?
Chris Cabot?
Chris Cabot, getting it done.
But what?
That guy's driving a new car.
Yeah, you weren't here, but I had this same exact reaction. It was just like, that agent's good.
I mean,
how does Jerry
You're trying
Jeudy
to get out in front of it. I understand that, but this is not working. Like, don't give these guys the money. Let them earn the money. But anyways, the real one to me, and yes, it's near and dear to my heart because I had a very strong reaction to it, but I'm in dynasty mode right now. So we're, you know, talking about, can Gus Edwards hold on to some dynasty value as running backs are getting old? But Derrick Henry going to the Baltimore Ravens, he's going to score so many touchdowns. And yeah, he's 30, but he got $9 million guaranteed. Last year, with Tennessee being, you know, one of the worst teams in the league, he was the running back 8, over 1,100 rushing yards, 12 rushing touchdowns. And he's had double-digit rushing touchdowns for 6 straight years. And now he goes to a team that Gus Edwards, we just quoted his numbers on it, of how Gus Edwards scored all of those touchdowns.
That's the real problem for me is okay. I want to come back and I want to be like, but this is old Derrick Henry. But
right.
Derrick Henry just turns into like Gus Edwards at the
but
worst.
He's way better than Gus Edwards.
I know that's what I'm saying. Like you don't have an argument against it.
And
something
you,
catastrophic would have to happen for Derrick Henry not to have the most goal line opportunities in the league. Baltimore is the highest win total or right behind San Francisco?
San Francisco, Kansas City, and Baltimore, all 11.5.
When does Henry do well? Wins or losses?
Wins.
You know, he's a front runner.
Yeah, the idea of Derrick Henry playing a full season and not scoring double-digit touchdowns feels impossible.
Mike found out he signed with the Ravens live on the show, and it changed his life.
It felt so good. And you have, you know, there are, we do have some other 30-year-old running backs who have had 10 or more touchdowns. We had the Cordarrelle Patterson year. You had the wild D'Angelo Williams year, and those were both guys on brand-new teams. And, oh, yeah, Mark Ingram on this team when he was 30 changed teams and then came in and gave us that huge touchdown outlier year. I think that – and watching Derrick Henry last year, you knew it wasn't the same guy. Because this was the lowest snaps he's seen since 2018 at only 53% of the snaps. Tajay Spears was working in. But you would still have so many moments throughout the season, including, I believe, the last touchdown run as a Titan or second to last. I can't remember, but just makes an incredible cut. You're like, oh, yeah, no, Derrick Henry still has juice left. So the
How
amount
old is
of,
he?
He's 30 right now. He is,
okay, so
yeah,
he'll play at 30.
Yeah, he'll be 30 this year. And it's the amount of juice that Derrick Henry has left combined with just such an incredible situation of a team that's going to win, be grinding out games, be scoring so many rushing touchdowns at the age of 30 to give you any kind of life it's fabulous.
I'm going to read you some additional potential winners. Tell me if you agree. Maybe tell me if it's just like
– okay.
You agree a lot,
okay.
Or just a little, or not at all. Will Levis at quarterback?
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The Titans are, they're wild now with that bank account. They're just writing checks, which good for you as a team. I'm Titans fans. I'm happy for you. Unless it doesn't work. Because if the flame out happens and you have now all these outstanding balances, that sets you back.
Sell the team for $20 billion if that happens. Caleb Williams.
A definite winner to me. Comes into the best situation.
Yeah. Keenan and Swift are the big additions.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes.
I don't think he's a big winner.
I don't either.
Marquise Brown.
He might suck.
Yeah, he might suck. He is not a zone guy, and that's what Mahomes is going to face the most. So I don't know. And then you've got a year older Kelsey. I don't look at Mahomes as like, wow, this offseason, so good for Mahomes.
So for Hollywood, third team, and this is his sixth year?
Yeah, something's not working, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell that to Brandon Cooks. He did just fine.
He was the true journeyman.
Yeah, he'd be if Brandon Cooks went to the Chiefs. Do you feel the same? That might be the bar.
I might feel better.
Yeah, that's weird.
Even today's Brandon Cooks.
Obviously, Gus Edwards is a winner, right? Yeah. Joe Mixon's a winner.
Yes.
Sure. James Conner is a winner.
Yeah.
Cardinals don't have
anyone.
Well,
who did they bring in from Seattle?
DJ Dallas. Backup.
Yeah.
Zamir White so far.
Huge winner so far. If they don't grab a running back in the draft, then I see Alexander Mattison as a clear backup.
Yeah, probably.
Andy loves Madison.
No.
He sees Zamir as the backup.
Yeah. Rashad White, so far so good. Quentin Johnston, I don't know if you're a winner, man.
You have to be a winner in this situation. I mean,
your opportunity is a winner.
This is a busy Quentin Johnston situation. Is like he's one cashier at a busy grocery store, and he had a couple other cashiers that like helped get the lines down, and now they're gone, and he's got to take everything through his line, and it's very stressful. He's not trained for this. He's not ready.
It does feel a lot like
it's too
that.
Much.
Like, this isn't just an opportunity to show how good at checking people out you are. This is. This is overwhelming.
This is too much, man.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the focus.
There's going to be people putting groceries back.
If you drop the ball when you've got other players to take the eyes off of you, the pressure's going to be real.
If week one comes out and he has a bad drop early in that game, his career's over. He's mentally just never going to overcome it.
George Pickens? I think huge winner.
Yeah?
Two new quarterbacks that are... They got to be better than what you had. They get rid of Deontay Johnson.
But
you don't feel that way.
So I everything you just said makes me feel that way. Arthur Smith makes me remember Drake London.
Yeah.
Better quarterbacks,
he has – someone can keep him in check now. When Arthur's over there, it's like, you know what they won't expect. Our third string tight end.
Wasn't Arthur Smith the –
The OC for Tennessee.
No, I know, but wasn't he the offensive coordinator when A.J. Brown was doing stuff over there?
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah,
he was. So you never know.
That's what I mean. But I'm saying.
Yes, it was A.J. Brown.
But I'm saying he's not. The buck doesn't stop with Arthur on the Steelers. He has Mike Tomlin to go over and be like, don't be dumb. Throw the ball to our good players.
Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel, like we talk about don't let your children be running backs. Look at Curtis Samuel and the amount of money that he has made compared to the impact that he has really had on football fields for years. I can't believe he got the check that he got. Good for you, Curtis.
Did you ever get a chance to react to that?
No, he hasn't.
I'm doing it right now.
No, that's what I mean. This is your first chance to comment on it.
It was shocking stuff, the money that he's going to get to and go be on a championship-contending team. And then you have these, like the best running backs in the league, are like they can't get this money, and this is now his third contract. This dude,
it was a better offseason for running backs.
Yeah, it was a very good offseason for running backs, but it still does not compare to the wide receiver market. But Curtis Samuel finds himself in a great position. He's a definite clear winner. He's reunited with Joe Brady. I don't know if we brought that up, but Joe Brady, you know, was with him in Carolina. And they paid a lot of money to bring him over. So I think they've got a plan for him. They're going to use him in a lot of ways.
Would you consider this offseason to be good, bad, or neutral for Josh Allen, his quarterback? No Gabe Davis.
Neutral.
Adds Mac Hollins and Curtis Samuel, right?
Yeah.
I'll go neutral.
Kyle Pitts, winner.
Sure. Winner.
Dalton Schultz, going back home.
Yeah, winner to go back.
All right, we will take a quick break, come back with the losers of free agency.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday. All right, let's jump into some fantasy losers when it comes to what you thought you were going to get, what you hoped to get, and what happened during free agency. To me, I mean, this one's an obvious one, but this is why it's a gamble. When you take a low draft capital shot, dynasty, I know the hopes and dreams are out there, and they don't all end like Rashad White did last year. Tajay Spears.
Yeah.
Former, or I'll say like brief, top of the depth chart for just a moment after Henry left and before they signed Tony Pollard. But Tajay Spears, he was a third-round pick. He was 81st overall in the draft last year. He's a good player. He's definitely a meaningful offensive weapon in an NFL offense. And nothing against Tajay Spears. But the way free agency went, when they went out and they took that infinite checkbook and they cut a three-year deal for Tony Pollard with a bunch of money guaranteed, it automatically changes every positive outlook you had for Tajay Spears. Now, can he be a complimentary back that makes a big play here and there? Of course. He probably will do that. But I don't expect his workload to increase just because Henry switches out for Pollard. I think it could go the opposite direction, potentially, or at a minimum stay neutral. And so, you know, last year, what was he? 100 for 453? No one's getting excited about that in Dynasty.
It was receptions, though. You had 52 catches, which that's
Pollard,
a fantastic.
Pollard can do that better than Henry could.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So we were all rooting for the one-year trial at starting running back.
Did just see his coach was being asked about how are you going to use, you know, Pollard and Spears. And the case for Spears is just in the whole quote, it's him saying, like, these are, you know, we have two really good players, and I see them both as kind of interchangeable. So it at least it wasn't, hey, we gave Tony, like, we knew we had to get Tony Pollard on this team and for him to be a foundational piece. It was equal praise to both backs. So I think there's a world where this is like has Spears outsnaps Pollard in some games, but like a 55-45 split.
I think it'll be close to 50-50, but that's sure. That really hurts Tajay from the hopes of him being the guy. Do you realize last year Tony Pollard Tajay Spears played 53% of the snaps and Derrick Henry played 53% of the snaps. So it's going to be a similar situation here with Pollard.
With question marks on the offensive side, and then he's undersized. He has a full thickness cartilage loss in his knee, no ACL in his knee, and arthritis. So this is also not a, well, just wait a couple years for Tony Pollard to go away and then he'll be fine. This seems like more of a, you get what you get. If Pollard goes down, you have a player, but that's the case for a lot of backups. So to me, just a brutal, I don't think any of us expected Pollard. I don't think any of us expected a big running back signing in Tennessee.
No.
Because if it would have been, it probably would have been Henry coming back, we thought. But they went with the younger Pollard and, you know, Will Levis, who knows if that experiment works out this year. There you go.
Yeah, they've given Will Levis, I mean, I said I think he's a big winner. They've given him every opportunity to succeed. I expect him to fail, but I'm hoping he succeeds. Bananarama is fun for the show. My biggest loser is clearly from free agency.
Yeah.
This cycle's just been, I feel so bad for this incredible player. Justin Herbert, I'm so sorry, man. Well, I mean, but I'm not really sorry because you're gonna win more games. Like, you can't feel too bad for him. He's going to win more football games, and that's what he wants to do. I can feel bad for us because I want you to score
feel bad
more
for the,
fantasy
for
points.
The dynasty. Like, we've had the advice of, like, swapping out the high-scoring fantasy quarterback and getting the next up-and-comer. And I know people did it with Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, my gosh, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Quentin Johnson, a first-round pick?
And now he's left
with
just
Eckler?
With a grocery store cashier. That's all he has left.
See, the analogy works well because that's his future profession.
Oh. Yeah, so you've got the Chargers here, 14% of their running back targets vacated, 40% of their wide receiver targets, 11% of their targets from the tight end position, 65% of last year's targets are not on the roster. We have talked a lot about Greg Roman's run-heavy offense. We've talked about it multiple times this offseason. The problem is that it works for the NFL. His team's averaged 10.2 wins, and that's over a decade when they didn't play 17 for the majority of that. He is, you know, he only has one sub-500 team in a decade of this system working. He's going to have to be very efficient. That's not what Herbert has been historically. He's been a volume guy. Here's, I think, the best stat to just elicit, you know, to illustrate the difference between what we've been used to and what we're about to experience with Justin Herbert. And I don't hear what I'm not saying. I don't think Justin Herbert's going to be terrible. He's too good an NFL player. He's going to be on a good team. He'll score some, but he's not going to be like a top five quarterback the way he could be. In his career, he has averaged 26 completions per game. That's his baseline. That's his average. That's just what he normally does. In Greg Roman, 10 years, 162 games played.
This is ridiculous.
162 games played, 16 times has his quarterback completed 26 passes. 16 times of 162 games, and that's what we have been used to with Justin Herbert. So it's going to be a change. He's going to have to be more efficient. He's going to have to run the ball more. But when they get down near that goal line, it's going to be the Gus Bus or the incoming rookie. They're going to be scoring the touchdowns. And so I do think Justin Herbert, from a fantasy football perspective, is a huge loser this cycle of free agency.
8.5. That is the win total for the Chargers.
Now, if it goes quarterback, 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 and then you have the chance to draft Marvin Harrison Jr.,
they
to
won't.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah,
I know they won't.
They'd rather be dead.
I know they won't.
Convert him to running back.
Please trade back to the Arizona Cardinals.
All right. I mean, look, we all know Herbert. It hurts. It hurts the way, like, his value right now in leagues has got to be the lowest it'll ever be because it's probably being swung too far.
Yeah, in a dynasty
in that
league,
direction,
you could argue he could be a buy candidate right now.
That's what I'm wondering. Even though we can't see the future targets that he's going to throw to, Mike, it's time to hear from you on fantasy free agency loser.
So I cannot disagree. I think that Herbert is unfortunately the biggest loser, but a player I want to talk about because the value of this player going into his second year, I feel like was an absolute roller coaster ride over just like the past calendar year. And it's Jordan Addison of the Minnesota Vikings. When he was selected in the first round, 23rd overall, to a team where he could go be the wide receiver two behind Justin Jefferson with Kirk Cousins throwing the ball, I don't know that there could be a better fit for what is for him in his first year as he's starting his career. His rookie year overall, quite good. Really, really heavy on the touchdowns. One of five rookie wide receivers with 10 or more receiving touchdowns since 2014. And that list is Jamar, Odell, Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley, and Jordan Addison. Like, that's a group of wide receivers I would like my name to be connected to. But now we have, we kind of talked about it all at the beginning of the show with being so excited for Drake London. Jordan Addison has a Kirk Cousins and a quarterback problem. Right now, it is scheduled to be Samuel Darnold, who, in defense of Sam Darnold, I've heard his head coach believes he has his best football mm-hmm. in front of him.
Oh, for sure he does.
So you look behind him?
He can't be behind him. That can't be.
So, which that was newsworthy, I guess. But, and look, maybe Sam Darnold is Geno Smith, and you get kind of, or what happened with Baker. Maybe there is a resurgence. Sam Darnold is still, I think, like 21 years old. he's still like
how old is he actually? 25 or something? Young.
The quarterback
came in
class,
so young. Remember?
He's 26.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So he will be turning 27 as he goes into year 7 of his career. It would be shocking, I think, just to say it is. It would be shocking if Sam Darnold is actually works out for the Minnesota Vikings. Or it's the rookie. I mean, they've already made a big trade. All the smoke says that the Minnesota Vikings are going to try and move up and get a quarterback, but now you have a rookie quarterback. And it's a rookie quarterback where it took a lot of draft capital to go up and get him. So you're taking on holes in the other parts of the team to just like, can that quarterback really be the guy? Rookie quarterbacks rarely hit.
What's their win total right now?
On DK? What do we got?
6.5.
6.5.
6.5. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so that's
a Darnold-esque number.
And it's one of those kind of the red flags here for Addison. His targets per route run numbers, they're not great. And
he scored a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah, and he scored, which that's great to have that in your catalog.
I'm trying to read Jason's face right now, and I wonder if it's I have him in dynasty face.
No, I do have him in dynasty because I think he's a great wide receiver. It's just it's the red flags. I brought up the name, I think our last episode, of like the fear of comping him to Jahan Dotson.
Oh, right.
Dotson had the huge touchdown success as a rookie and had a very bad targets per route run, but looked good. And then you have a lot of this where it's like some of those metrics behind the scenes are really bad for Addison, but he was propped up by the touchdowns. I still am a believer in the actual talent where I have a hard time moving on.
With Justin Jefferson, he averaged 5.5 targets a game, 47 receiving yards a game.
So
is that right?
It is right, but a lot of those starts were post,
I'm going to let you defend
post
him. He's on Kirk Cousins.
He's
on your dynasty team.
It was because Jefferson missed a lot of the games when Kirk Cousins was.
So
you shouldn't have to talk that much.
For the rookie wide receivers who had all those touchdowns, here is their actual routes. Jamar Chase had 579 routes, more touchdowns than Jordan Addison, who had 606 routes. Okay, 606. Odell Beckham, 474. Mike Evans, 510. Calvin Ridley, 465. All those guys hit or exceeded the amount of touchdowns that Jordan Addison scored as a rookie with far fewer routes. And I'm with Jason. I think he is a great player, but he's the number two, clearly the number two wide receiver on this team, unless a wild Minnesota trade of Justin Jefferson actually happens. But they have a huge quarterback problem that it's going to be really difficult to fix over the next couple of years.
See, I thought Josh Dobbs was going to fix all that last year, but it never happened. Potential other free agent losers. Do you, same as before, do you agree, disagree, strongly agree? Justin Fields?
That's obviously huge. He may never be a starter again.
Yeah.
He'll start this year. Not week one.
When?
Week four?
Week four, 9, 11.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he'll probably start some games, but I don't know that he'll be a starter.
Ramondre Stevenson.
I don't think he's a huge loser here.
I think he's a medium loser. his value came, first of all, Patriots are the lowest win total in football.
Correct. Tied with the Panthers.
When you talk about scoring opportunities and stuff like that, it's concerning. Secondly, Ramondre is his value came from being used in the passing game quite a bit.
Yes.
And that's where Antonio Gibson is going to.
He should.
I mean, he's a better – Antonio Gibson's a better receiver to me. I think Ramondre might be just as good after the catch, but I think in terms of just speed and getting to your spots, I personally think Gibson was signed to do what Gibson does. So, to me, he's a medium loser.
Yeah, I'll go medium.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
I'll use a word that's never been used with him before. Small.
Small loser?
Yeah.
Small loser. Okay. Damian Pierce, huge.
Who's that?
Huge. Yeah.
He was a loser last year.
Man, that sucks. It's not like I wasn't in the Damian Pierce corner until now he's on my teams. You know what I mean? And then it's like, he's your guy. And then it's like, oh, gross. Like that just died.
The winds change. Sorry, Andy.
Adam Thielen.
Hello? Did somebody say my name?
Is his father time that caused him to be a loser? I don't think he's a loser.
Oh, man. It's Deontay Johnson is there.
Deontay's there.
Who is young and very good.
But Dave Canales is there. So I consider it a wash.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dude, it's the best.
It's so fun.
You hadn't really done it a lot.
No, it's more Mike's bit.
Yeah, because he tried to get on the – he's a young man with this deep, masculine voice.
It's amazing how dominant Adam Thielen was last year.
For a couple of weeks.
To start the year. Alan Lazard, goodbye. Never heard of him. See you later. Cole Kmet.
I could see him.
I don't think he's a loser at all.
He's certainly a loser. He goes from being target-wise. 100%. For fantasy.
No, I disagree.
Really?
But
totally disagree.
Obviously disagree. You could be wrong, but the truth is Cole Kmet's value came from being number two in the target order. Being third in the target order is a massive – like, you look around the league at all the tight ends who are relevant for fantasy. When they are doing well, it's they're either the first or second target. That's it. And he doesn't have a chance at that anymore.
I think that you have a little bit so you hate Kyle Pitts now, like compared to what you would have because they added,
Darnell Mooney?
Yeah, I mean.
The guy who Cole Kmet was the number two over last year?
Oh, okay. That's a fair point.
No.
That's a fair point. But you added Kirk Cousins, right? I mean, the offense is going to throw the ball more with Caleb Williams than they did with Justin Fields.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The offense is going to run better with Caleb Williams throwing the football, presumably, than Justin Fields could do.
Yeah.
So I just think Cole Kmet's,
DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
I think Cole Kmet's talent. His ability to get into the end zone is significant.
I certainly think he's talented. He won me over last year as a football talent.
Those are man catches,
dude. Some of those end zone box out jump up. That's
I don't think he's a free agent winner. I'm not saying that.
But if he had to be a winner or a loser,
if you had
which
to,
one
be
would
one
you
of
pick?
The, yeah, I don't.
You
don't.
No,
maybe.
But I'm saying you have to. You got to. I made the rule.
Small loser.
All right, there you go.
But I think about the Hawkinson. You considered him a bigger target above Addison?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kittle?
I have always had a hard time being in on Kittle, but also we don't know what team Brandon Ayuk's going to play for. It's not going to be the Niners.
It will be the 49ers. He will play for the Niners this year.
Okay. We'll see.
What voice is that?
I don't know. Was that the voice he was using last week?
No.
It was not. Yeah, that was the one that people were wondering
about.
This was
at the end of the show voice.
Okay, so you think the Niners are going to trade him?
Draft day trade. That's my prediction.
Okay.
A draft.
Okay.
Okay.
I predict he plays for them, and then by the time training camp rolls around, they will give him an extension.
Okay, well that will be some crow to eat, and that will
big extension crow,
nice big plate, fork and knife.
I wonder where that really started.
Crow? Is it like the?
What do you mean?
It's a bird.
Well, I know what a crow is. When you eat crow, it's talking about the bird. That's my question.
I imagined it was. What else would it be?
That's what I was asking.
Oh, Let's look it up. Let's
what
learn.
What is the crow that you eat?
I would assume you're familiar with it.
That is not the...
Like...
That could be the
way
to
From years
ask
gone
it.
By.
Hmm.
That won't be the first time you ate crow on Brandon Ayuk, by the way.
That's true. That is true. I was a year early on Brandon Ayuk.
Have you determined your...
I can't figure
the
it out.
The source?
No, I think it might be crows.
Of course it's crows. Eating crow is an idiom. The crow is a carrion eater that is presumably repulsive to eat in the same way that being proven wrong might be emotionally hard to swallow.
So it is a crow.
Yeah, it's hard to eat.
Okay.
A crow.
I'm going to be honest.
Have you ever tried?
I'm going to be honest with you right now. I genuinely thought that eating crow was a politer way to say to poop.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, I thought eating crow meant like you gotta eat.
You ever taken a huge crow?
Yes, I have, Andy. Yes, I have. I plan to right after this show.
On that note, good to have the gang back together again. Cheers, everybody out there.
Yes.
And we'll catch you on another episode Thursday. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
For listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.